Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
The buzz in this place is getting louder. The excitement level is getting higher as New Orleans hosts its record-tying 11th Super Bowl. I'm Dave Cohen along with Newell Norman, and we are here at the host committee booth and very honored to have Blake Groupie join us, place kicker for your New Orleans Saints.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys for having me.
What's your experience? You said since the moment you walked in this door,
oh, yeah,
they've been mobbing you. I was looking over there; they had 7 TV cameras in your face.
Maybe I don't know about 7, but it was a good amount. This is awesome. Growing up from Missouri, there's not many Super Bowls that come around Sedalia, Missouri. So
where in Missouri?
Sedalia, Missouri.
Sedalia. So, yeah, I went to Mizzou. So
okay, familiar. Yeah, and right between where you're at in Kansas City, but. Yeah, this is an awesome event. We got some stuff scheduled, and then also we're just hanging out. We're just bouncing around, talking, chatting. I stay around here year round, so I really enjoy being in the city. And why not capitalize on a great event like Radio Row? I mean, this place is insane.
Yeah, so go home to Sedalia or hang out in New Orleans.
Exactly. I'll stick to New Orleans.
I guess your curiosity has been piqued of what is the behind the scenes of a Super Bowl, right? Yeah. Y'all gonna get there?
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Promise me.
I hope so. I promise. I promise to get my best. I promise to do that.
Hey, I mean, you look at what happened with Washington this year, and they turned it around in a hurry, and we're right back in the fight.
Yes, sir.
We know that the black and gold can do that too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But how curious have you been about that, kind of the behind the scenes?
Yeah,
it's been
neat. Thankfully, since I've been here, I've got to do some really cool stuff. I think last time we were in. I was in this convention center. It might have been, I think, Mardi Gras,
Yeah.
I got to ride in a parade with Harry Connick Jr. I mean, I FaceTimed my grandma, and she went nuts. So we've got to do some really cool things across the city, and there's always stuff going on, as you guys know. And so, this has been really cool. I was in here yesterday as well, and I would say maybe half the people. And then from what I've understood, tomorrow it might be double of what this is.
Yeah, so, that's what we're hearing.
There's going to be 6,000 credential media in here probably by tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be one of them, but, I'll be in a corner somewhere. I'm sure should be pretty hectic, but this is an awesome event. It really is, and they've done a good job with everything in the city, putting everything up, and they're painting the overpasses and stuff like that. Yeah. I'm sure you guys saw that. Yeah. So there's all kinds of new stuff around here, and so but this is a great week, and excited to watch the game on Sunday and see it finish off.
Did you get to see in the Superdome Notre Dame?
I did.
The Rose Bowl?
I did, yeah. Or the Sugar Bowl,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did. Unfortunately, with everything that went on, they rescheduled the game. And so they moved it to 3 o'clock or something like that.
Right.
So I was only able to make the second half. But it was nice. Derek Carr actually gave us his suite. So that was obviously really nice of him to do that. And so brought in some old teammates of mine, brought in from Notre Dame. And so we filled up that 25-man suite like it was nothing.
It's funny how that works. Huh?
Yeah, right. So we had a great seat, great view on everything. And it was really awesome to see him and see a lot of those same coaches and players that I was there with having success and to make it to the national championship. But, yeah, the AD suite, the Notre Dame AD suite was next to us. And Bon Jovi walked in the wrong suite. So we were sitting there watching the game. All of a sudden, Bon Jovi comes walking in. And I've met him before when he was at Notre Dame.
Did you FaceTime your grandma?
Didn't FaceTime my grandma.
He's making us feel old. Talking about people.
but yeah, that was really cool. And yeah, there's always people floating around Notre Dame. But that was an awesome experience seeing them, you know, go from, you know, in the first round home game
right,
in the playoff to then making the Natty. So I'm sure with Marcus Freeman, they'll be back sometime soon.
So describe, if you would, your experience with the Saints so far.
I mean, yeah, it's been awesome. You know, thankfully I've got to talk about it a good amount this week, and so it's kind of funny. Before talking about this, maybe I didn't reflect on it as much, but being able to talk about it and just think about it throughout the week, I'm thankful for everything that's came, you know, and been a part of it. So, you know, to come in undrafted, having to prove and pretty much earn everything that I've got up to this point, and to go out and have some ups and downs my rookie years, maybe as expected. But then,
Not a lot of downs. You were 30 for 37 on field goals.
Yeah.
A perfect 40 for 40 on point afters.
Yeah.
67 kickoffs for touchbacks. Where are the downs in that, Blake?
I mean, they're in there. Just with everything. That's the life of a kicker. So, you know, I was 100% proud of what I was able to do my rookie year. And then to finish strong and really have to earn and keep that spot as the year went on. But to then build on that going into year two and being around other pros and just learning and learning how to master that craft and be prepared and everything that goes into being a professional NFL player and preparing yourself to have the best opportunity to have success, you know, on Sunday.
I've always been in, you know, the Saints have had a lot of storied kickers.
Iconic.
You know,
yeah.
Iconic kickers.
Yeah.
What's the hardest part for you in your preparation?
Yeah, I would say the majority of it is, you know, in between the ears. It's maybe a little bit more physical with me, just being 150 pounds.
Yes, you're not a big guy.
No. So I got to give it all I got.
Yeah.
But no, all that work.
So your technique has to be perfect.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he had a 55 yarder this season.
57 was my first field goal of the year. It was 57. And that's a career long for me. And I feel like that was like a big exclamation point, just starting off the year with a bang. And, but, yeah, I mean, some of the hardest things, there's been a lot of great kickers to wear the black and gold. You know, Tom Dempsey, Morton Anderson. I mean,
yeah, the list goes
Lutz,
on.
Lutz,
yeah.
Hartley. I mean,
those
the
are
list.
It's hard to compete with.
The list of names is there. And, you know, I just want to continue to work to even give myself a chance to maybe join that list. So, but, you know, the hardest thing is really it's a mental. I mean, as you guys, I'm sure you guys have played golf, and there's a lot of analogies there. But
not very well. But
you know, actually, since you're on, something I've always wanted to ask the kicker. When they call a timeout, when you're preparing for a kick, does it really ice you? Does it affect you?
Maybe I don't want to jinx myself or anything here, but you know, the work has to go in anyways. But I actually kind of like when they ice it because you get to go out there, look at where you want to kick it. Most of the time, walk all the way, do your three steps back, two steps over, go through the entire process.
You're not running out there with 12 seconds and you got to kick it. Now you got 30 seconds to think
about it.
Okay.
Go through the entire process up to the point where you're about to ready to have to go to do it, and then they call you a timeout. Walk back to the sideline, restart the whole thing. You know how easy it is to, you know, you hit a bad golf shot, you can hit the second one pretty good most of the time.
A lot better than that.
And so sometimes, heck, even sometimes they mess up the timeout and you end up getting a practice kick. I've never had one of those. But I almost like it because I always felt that it kind of calms your nerves going from the first time where everything, it is rah-rah, it is, you know, the heart's thumping, and it's always thumping. But you get to line it up. Look at it. Okay, let's go back and try this thing again. And so,
don't tell the 31 other teams that Blake Groupie likes to be iced. All right.
Yeah, I like to be iced. No, so, And so that's just kind of how it goes. You don't let it get to you. You just restart and do it again. So
you say that the chest pumping.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's.
It is. It is.
It's a nerve wracker.
It is. I mean, from time, you know, it just depends on the situation, really.
Right.
But, you know, confidence helps write that out. But that's where you just dive into your routine.
Yeah.
I have the same routine I do, whether I'm kicking on sticks in the indoor or if I'm in Mercedes-Benz Stadium or, you know, it's the Superdome, you know, everywhere. And so that routine helps kind of bridge that gap. And right. So it helps kind of tune out a lot of that. And you just rely and fall back on your routine. And I feel like that's kind of what gives you a chance to have success.
Training techniques in college versus pro. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it different?
A little different. You know, as a pro and being in the NFL, it's more on you mm-hmm. versus getting screamed and yelled at 6:30 in the morning. I see guys that are on a bunch of caffeine.
Right.
But also it's like it's on you to you know, make yourself get up and go or find somebody that's going to train you. And so, you know,
you're a pro now.
Yeah, it's on you. If it's on you and you don't do it, you probably ain't going to last. So that's I'd say was probably the biggest difference. And just going out there and having that self-discipline, and I feel like that all that stuff just kind of carries over to having success on the field.
Is there something that you have to do that's different because of your weight?
A little bit. There's certain ways that I like to train. You know, obviously there's a time and a place to load up and build muscle and everything. But I've always found I have the best luck and best success with, you know, lighter weight. That's still, you know, good weight, still doing stuff, but moving that thing.
Coaching staff or the training staff ever say to you, "Hey, Blake, can we get you to, you know, in the weight room?"
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you know,
honestly,
bulking up a little bit.
What's funny is I've tried. I swear, I've tried. I mean, I think the heaviest I've
Wait till you turn 40.
I know the heaviest I've ever got is 157, and that was after, you know, 4 or 5 meals a day at Notre Dame and lifting. And my body just seems to sit right around 150,
right.
153. And so I guess that's just what I've learned to operate at. And I'm sure 10 extra pounds might do me well. But, hey, I'm out here doing
my best
right now.
Whatever you're doing is working.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Come on. The record speaks for itself. But have you ever been tackled by one of particularly by like a defensive lineman or a linebacker?
In college. So in college we had a kick blocked against Troy at our place at Arkansas State. Got a kick blocked. Ball kind of came back floating. And so I grabbed it and didn't really get to go anywhere. They smoked me up. But, yeah, so I guess technically I got tackled there, but I was able to actually technically have 2 tackles this past season. One of them was just I was closest to the guy on Denver when he ran out of bounds. And the other one was against the Rams this year where I had to be the guy right
you
there.
You were the last
the
line
hole.
Of defense.
Yeah, and I hunkered down a little bit, got ready to go, and threw a shoulder. He tried to jump over me. He tried to hurt me, which is kind of funny. But
how tall are you?
5'8".
Okay.
Threw a shoulder right at him, caught his knee, flipped him, and so, yeah, that was good stuff. I actually kind of enjoyed that stuff. I played peewee football, so I'm not going to act like I'm some no meathead. But I guess I know a little bit of what I'm doing.
Well, we hope you don't have to make any more tackles because that's the job of the people in front of you.
Yeah, no doubt.
But we're glad to know that if you have to do it,
I'm
you are
scared.
Willing and able.
Yeah, I'm not scared. I'll stick my nose in there.
Saints looking for a coach. So many question marks here in the offseason. Does any of that filter down to your guys' level? Do the players talk about the coaching
search? Yeah, we pay attention to it, obviously, maybe more than others. I mean, we see it. At the end of the day, I feel like – I don't want to speak for everybody, but I feel like personally we're just – I'm worried about preparing myself and continuing to continue to work and try to improve and just give yourself a best – put yourself in the best possible place to, you know, have success and help this team regardless of who the coach is. And so, you know, I'm just going to continue to work and be ready whenever, you know, whenever the guys upstairs make that decision, you know, we'll be ready to go. And obviously we're going to support it. And
yeah, at the end of the day, you got to play the game.
Yeah, at the end of the day,
right?
I don't, it's not my problem. you know, it's not, my problem is trying to make sure it goes between the big yellow posts. So,
right. Yeah.
So I'm just going to continue to do what I do you know, just be ready to go whenever my name is called.
You like the kickoff rules as they stand?
Actually,
right now?
I do. I really do enjoy it. It kind of opened up more of a playmaking position for us, and we actually were able to use it honestly to our advantage this year. I'd have to look at what the statistics are exactly, but we're top 2, 3, if not maybe number 1 in starting field position for their opposing offense.
And that's all based on where you put it in the landing zone.
Yeah,
if you kick it through the end zone.
Yeah,
we
put it right there on the – our goal 90% of the time this year was to put it right on the goal line, maybe a couple of yards deep, let him bring it out, let our guys go down there and headhunt. And so instead of just kicking a touchback, giving it to him at the 35 – or 30, you know, we're down there tackling them inside the 25, right on the 25-yard line. So we were able to, you know, use that new rule change into our advantage. And so I feel like it we did it. We operated at a pretty high level on special teams this year, and I think we'll continue to build on that. And I'm sure they'll make tweaks to the rule, but you know, we're just here to play, and regardless of how far we're kicking it or where we're kicking it from, we just want to put it down there and let those guys go down there and make a play.
What a pleasure to have Saints place kicker Blake Groupie with us here on WWL. I don't know if you can go to the facility now that the Eagles are practicing over there.
We can't go ahead and say,
"Hey, Kellen Moore, nice to meet you."
Yeah, we can't go in there this week. So those guys are in there getting ready for their big game, and so we're using different places this week along with everything we're doing here. But I got a guy that I use in town this week that we're training. So we're still getting the work in, even with all the craziness and talking to you guys on the radio. But this is an awesome week.
Well, thanks for hanging out with
us. Yeah, thanks so much. Much and best of luck to you.
Awesome, thank you guys. Thank you guys for having me.
Seeing you spend many, many years here.
I hope so. We're gonna take it 1 year at a time. But we'll see how it goes.
Blake Groupie here on WWL.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me.
I'm Dave Cohen. He's Newell Norman. We're here on Media Row at the Morial Convention Center at the New Orleans Host Committee booth, having a good time now. Everyone's got to go take a picture with the kicker. All right, we're going to go to break so we can take some selfies with Blake Groupie here on WWL.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy 2 and get 3 free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Welcome back, folks. We're having a good time here. I've never interviewed a kicker.
I have not either. There were so many questions that I've always thought, if I ever get to talk to a kicker.
Yeah.
And so that icing thing to me was fascinating.
No, absolutely.
Because I always wondered, does it really unnerve these guys to call a timeout? And you think, but he said, no, he likes it. It gives him time to get in the right place mentally.
Yeah, you know, and I wanted to talk to him about the difference between indoor and outdoor stadiums, from
adjusting for the wind and
mental preparation for that, you know.
Yeah, kicking in the cold versus the heat. And so much pressure is on the kicker. And to me, what stood out most from what he said was that he's on his own. that he is literally, and you see that all the time, the kicker's on the sideline by themselves. And he said this week he had to find somewhere and someone to train with.
Right.
Because he wants to keep his skills honed. It really is, for a kicker, a one-man show. Now, obviously, the holder, the long snapper, vitally important.
No
the
doubt.
Line and keeping it from getting blocked, vitally important. But so much of it's between the ears, like he said.
Well, speaking of holders and kickers and long snappers, we have J.P. Morrell from the New Orleans City Council.
Where does he fit in there?
It does a little bit of everything. In red tennis shoes, though, I might add. J.P., welcome to the show.
Thanks. I appreciate being with y'all today.
So what role are you playing today? Long snapper, holder, kicker?
Honestly, I feel like the last week I've been an inside linebacker.
We'll talk about that in a moment. But you guys are issuing a city proclamation proclaiming tomorrow, February 5th, 2025, as Terry Bradshaw Day. Tell us about it.
So February 5th is the anniversary 50 years ago of when New Orleans hosted Super Bowl 11, where it was the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Minnesota Vikings. And that was Terry's first Super Bowl when he won it. And obviously, as you know, Terry Bradshaw's from Louisiana. His whole career started in Louisiana. He's the host of the number one pregame show in America. And a little known fact, Newell, we have the exact same birth date, and we were in the same college fraternity.
Oh, really?
Not at the same time.
Well, 30 years apart. There's a little 30-year delay between us, but same exact birthday.
Well, if I see Terry Bradshaw wearing red tennis shoes, I know it's all over. Now, there's going to be a ceremony. Tell us about that, JP.
So we are having the ceremony with the Lieutenant Governor at Tulane Yeoman Stadium. We've got a lot of different groups participating in it, but really it's to try and highlight, you know, as you know, so many NFL athletes are products of Louisiana, not just New Orleans, but the entire state as a whole. And we're really celebrating Terry as one of the first people to really start that entire, you know, homegrown effort to produce as many NFL players as possible.
And that will take place tomorrow at Yeoman Stadium?
Tomorrow, Yeoman Stadium, I believe it is at 10 a.m.
And it's open to the public?
I do not know, actually.
Okay.
The Chiefs are practicing there, so that's a good question, because we don't know in terms of their practice schedule and security and all that. But we'll find out and let you know. I would assume
not, especially considering it's a tight 30 minutes. But I do know that the proclamation and the ceremony, there'll be portions of it that'll be shown during the Super Bowl.
Oh, awesome. That's quite the honor during
the broadcast on television.
Well, I mean, I certainly think people are more interested in seeing Terry and what weird joke he's going to make, like Yogi Berra, while he's receiving his award, versus who's presenting it. I mean, he's kind of renowned for making the off-color joke during the pregame show. So we'll see.
No doubt. Been an interesting week for you guys. I know there's a little bit of a tug of war going back and forth relative to an agreement that y'all reached with the Orleans Parish School Board. Tell us about where we stand at the present time.
Well, it's like I said yesterday at the press conference, the school board, the council, we're all acting in good faith with the administration. As you know, the school board had a miscalculation regarding their budget, about $36 million. The city has exposure of about $150 million for illegally tacking on an administrative fee to millage dollars. It was a massive piece of litigation that started in 2019. And Councilman DeRusso had the idea of, well, listen, let's do this. Let's go settle this massive lawsuit at a deal with the school board where we can both walk away with the haircut. You resolve your short-term crisis. We commit to an investment, a short-term crisis with a $20 million cash settlement, and we'll continue our commitment to a variety of programs you guys care about for a 10-year period. And in exchange for that, we'll end the lawsuit. Everybody agrees to it. Gilbert Montagna, who's the CAO of the city of New Orleans, showed up to the press conference in November announcing the deal. And you fast forward to now, the mayor is now pretending like she didn't know there was a deal or or that even existed, despite the fact the CAO was at the press conference. And as you know, Newell, it was extensively covered by the media that we had negotiated the settlement. So now she's playing like this was new to her. She never saw it. And as I said in the press conference yesterday, you get to a point, Newell, where when someone makes that kind of argument that the second-in-command of the city of New Orleans, who settles deals all the time, didn't tell the mayor about this deal that was widely reported, if you take it at face value that she's just Mr. Magoo wandering around in a circle, either she's incompetent or stupid. Sorry, incompetent or lying.
Right.
Apologize.
Which do you think it is?
I think she's lying. I don't think she's incompetent. I think she's lying.
Well, what does that do moving forward? How many more months does she have in her administration?
Oh, we're under 350
days. She's the mayor
through
January of next year, so, I mean, pretty much a year.
So what does that do for this remainder as it relates to the credibility? I mean, you know, how does anybody else believe that what's said and what's agreed to is actually going to be executed?
Well, I mean, the challenge you have is we already have a reputation as a city of not paying our bills. We know that in that we are paying premiums just to get contracted to do work. We have so many different groups that are on the judgment list because they do work for the city and then they get stiffed. It adds to the ongoing challenge of if you're handshaking your word or not your word, people just don't take you seriously. This is a pretty big deal, Newell, because as you know, if this settlement is not followed through, we're looking at the schools across our city having to eliminate after-school program, support services, summer school, and potentially not being able to sign up teachers for next year. And as you know, Newell, because the whole state has a crisis, teachers eventually get fed up and just say, I'm moving. At some point, you can't just have situations where every year they have to wait till the last minute to get re-signed for the next year, and they'll move to St. Tammany, a different parish, or they'll leave the state. And so this uncertainty that reneging on this deal kind of causes, it has long-term effects to the security of our school system and what our kids have available to them.
Do you anticipate litigation maybe based on the legal theory of detrimental reliance? I mean, obviously they're moving forward, and you know, now they find themselves having to take remedial actions that are contrary to the best interests of their legal position.
Well, I think there certainly will be some legal action by the school board to enforce the deal or use a detrimental reliance claim. Additionally, I would imagine, Newell, that whatever claim the school board moves forward with, the council is going to probably join them on their side of the lawsuit. Because there was a deal, there's plenty of evidence that a deal was struck. And what's really disheartening is that the effort to try and force the school board to take the cash but still collect the illegal administrative fee, you really are looking at a situation where an administration acting in bad faith made them detrimentally rely upon the deal, made them think there was a deal, and then by rug pulling them at the last minute is trying to make an even worse deal, knowing that they're desperate for the cash to avoid kids being impacted.
I every time I think I can't make sense of something, something else comes along.
you can only shake your head so much and so many times.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, the council, we have a special meeting on February 11th, next Tuesday. We're going to take up this with a variety of other issues. I know we don't have a lot of time, but as you know, Newell, we also received a letter from the mayor through the CAO and CFO saying suddenly we went from having a surplus next year that now we're in a budget crisis, and that if we spend any money on things with the school board judgment, the city's finances will come unglued. And I know Councilman Druso has been on your show, Newell, but we're going to get to the bottom of how we went from a surplus to a deficit, because I don't know how the heck that makes sense with math. And if we are truly going to take them at their word that we are really in a budget crisis, then we have to really reconsider how we're spending money on frivolous things. Like, if we're a city that truly is concerned that things at the state or federal level will negatively impact our bottom line, why are we still doing meaningless travel across the country? Why are we having people eat out on city credit cards? We need to lock it all down and look at our finances and see what we actually can afford if this crisis that they say exists.
JP, you just went through the budget process. The mayor just submitted her budget to you weeks ago. You held hearings with every department at every level. Was there any conversation about a budget crisis then versus now with this claim that we're in a budget crisis so we can't honor this deal with the school board?
You're 100% correct, and not just that. Every expenditure we've done thus far has been based on that budget. So, and I'll add to that insult to injury. Because we were being conservative, when we were estimating the revenue for 2025 and we were doing the budget, we specifically did not include revenue from Taylor Swift or the Super Bowl. So honestly, what's really surprising is we should be operating beyond our rainy day fund into a legitimate surplus because, as you know, Taylor Swift and Super Bowl are known factors to be budget multipliers. So not only the fact that they're saying that we're short on cash, we got to rethink things. Well, what happened to the Taylor Swift money? Are you saying we're not going to make money from the Super Bowl? I mean, in this letter we got, Millie talked about how we're putting out all these costs for the Super Bowl. Well, it's a Sear 1 event. We're being reimbursed for all of that. So as far as these costs, it really seemed like an effort to try and scare the council into not taking action and to not spending money while allowing the mayor to spend money unchecked. And the reality is that makes no sense. If we are in a budget crisis, Newell, then what we need to do is we need to stop spending everything, go look at the checkbook, look at what the balance is, and act accordingly. And the council's in a position where when we go in next Tuesday, we're going to do just that. We're going to say, you know what? We're going to take you guys at your word. We're going to freeze all necessary spending. That's not public safety. That's not departments like code enforcement that are essential. We're going to stop everything, and we're going to make you show up and bring us the checkbook and see what's actually going on.
Yeah, that's a dangerous strategy, a dangerous proposition. The one thing about math, you've heard me say this before, it does not have emotion. You know, it is what it is, and it's easily to go back and recreate expenditure patterns and piece it together. So, I mean, you know, it's before I'd go down that path and try and scare tactics, I would think a bit more logically and realistically before I opened my mouth, period.
You would.
Yeah. I mean, I just.
Yeah. I mean, it's new. It goes down. It's a pure credibility issue. I mean, and what's really been disappointing in particular has been CAO Montano, who was in these meetings negotiating in good faith. And now that the mayor's claiming that this was all done behind her back, he's been completely silent. And that's been really disappointing because you can't have it both ways. At this point, Newell, either he lied to us or she's lying to us because you can't have it both ways. Because he represents us. And, I mean, if you look in the Verite article, in the press conference, he mentions repeatedly that he's there representing the mayor who's aware of the deal. So right. Either he lied to us and lied to the school board, or the mayor's lying now. Either way, it's bad news for Mr. Montano.
JP, I was having this conversation earlier with some folks. I anticipate there's going to be a number of departures from this administration over the coming months. A lot of folks are going to have a lack of desire.
Particularly staying, as the end gets closer.
Staying on this ship to the bitter end. Are y'all ready for that?
I mean, we're ready for it insofar as, remember, Newell, anyone that departs now, their replacement has to go through confirmation. So we are more than ready to see what happens in this process over the next couple of months. Honestly, what I'm very surprised about is that usually people who are top-tier candidates, Newell, don't last this long. Right. As you know, with any administration, people who are highly sought after or who are going to tend to go on to the private or other governmental sectors, they've already probably left. So I don't know who's going to leave in the next couple of months. I don't know who will leave either voluntarily or involuntarily, but the council's committed to making sure government still functions.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, and I think y'all. I asked the question because I think y'all are playing a much broader role than you ever anticipated playing, as the legislative branch of government. And thankfully, y'all, you know, the body has been willing and able to step up, in many respects, to instill that sense of confidence and credibility in government. A lot of people, you know, not necessarily sure about making investments here, and that's a dangerous landscape.
Well, I mean, it certainly sets the next mayor on very unsure ground and footing, because the goal is you kind of want as the incoming mayor to have some runaway of successes to build upon, and that's certainly what Mayor Cantrell received from Mayor Landrieu, in that there were unfinished projects, but the projects were largely lined up to be done under her watch. For example, the airport was a great gift as far as a political gift Mayor Landrieu gave to Mayor Cantrell, because the airport opened under Mayor Cantrell, but the bulk of the work was done under Mayor Landrieu. You don't see any mayor receiving something like that from this mayor. There's no right. massive, successful project. I mean, the thing closest to it would have been City Hall being further along, but this mayor wasted the first year and a half trying to build City Hall at Congo Square, when pretty much every single organization or group in the city of New Orleans was opposed to it. And the only reason why that stopped, Newell, is because the city rezoned the property so she couldn't do it. So eventually she gave up on it. But had that been something that she had worked collaboratively with people on, we would probably have already broken ground on a new City Hall, and it might have been done midway through the next mayor's two terms or one term or whatever. But well, that's not going to happen now.
We were just notified on by text that there's a line out already on the fact of whether she was lying or not, and odds on favorite she was lying.
Incompetent or lying? Those are the choices, right?
That's the choices.
Or was it stupid or incompetent or lying? Anyway, talking with PJ Morrell. We're going to take a break. When we get back, I'm going to ask him if
it's JP.
Too much going on here.
He's got coffee on the brain. It's okay.
Yeah. It's too much going on here in the media center. You wouldn't believe all the people walking by us. All right. We'll be back with JP coming up after this. I'm going to ask him, is he sure he doesn't want to run for mayor? After this on WWL. Cohen and Newell Norman live from the Super Bowl host committee here on Media Row. And Newell, I looked it up. The Terry Bradshaw Day celebration tomorrow at Tulane is open to individuals, but you have to RSVP. If you go to Tulane LBC on Instagram, that's the Lavin Burnick Center's Instagram page. They have the information how you can RSVP to attend the Terry Bradshaw Day activity on the Berger family lawn tomorrow at Tulane University at 10 a.m. And we're back. Newell, let's pick up where we left off with J.P. Morrell.
We're visiting with J.P. Morrell. I think you wanted to ask him.
Yeah, and the texters are asking as well, J.P. I know you've said you're not running for mayor, but a lot of people are texting us asking, are you sure?
I'm 100% sure. Noel knows my youngest kid is, you can't be a good parent and be a good mayor. It's mutually exclusive, especially when the city needs so much of your time and your effort. And like, I got a lot of work left to do on the council. I'm running for re-election of the city council, but I will be very involved with the next mayor, like I was with this one. Insofar, I think the council as a legislative branch needs to constantly be a check on a mayor.
There's your answer, folks. Someone said 4 years, 8 years. Well, we'll worry about that in a few years.
They would say that's a better bet than secretariat that he's not running.
Yeah, it sounds like he's not running.
Well, JP, thank you so much for joining us. I know there's a lot going on. We appreciate all that you guys have done. Actually, the city has really done a great job, I think, thus far in hosting this Super Bowl event. I've been out and about in the city. I was walking around last night, went to the event, saw more police, just really organized, everybody willing to help, a lot of happy faces. It just feels right, you know?
Yeah, I agree. We got a lot of practice with Taylor Swift, and we are the best city to host Super Bowls, and we're going to show the world yet again this is where you want your Super Bowls, not anywhere else.
No. J.P. Morrell with us here on WWL. We got to get to another break, and then we'll come back and find out what Scoot's got coming up here from Media Row as we are hosting the record-tying 11th New Orleans Super Bowl here on WWL. Norman, and look who just sat down. It's Scoot!
Hey, it's good to sit down. I did a lot of walking last night around the Dome, and from here to the Dome, it was crazy. And I want to talk about how the media crowd was bigger in front of Travis Kelce than in front of Patrick Mahomes.
Did that surprise you?
No, not really.
How many questions did they ask about Taylor Swift?
I couldn't get close enough. Yeah. I'm sure they asked a few, but you couldn't even get close.
It was crowded. How was Saquon Barkley?
It was crazy.
I went on the wrong side of the field looking at the map.
It was a little confusing. But I tell you, did you notice how nice? Well, he was, you know, he was nice, and he talked to everybody. But did you notice how kind everybody was, like the volunteers and the employees?
Oh, it was incredible. And I told folks, if you fear going down there because you think it's going to be too over the top, I got into the dome, I don't know about you, in like 3 minutes. I mean, it took no time at all.
Yeah, I did get in. It was very methodical. And boy, I'll tell you, they check you.
Yeah.
But they're hospitable when they do it. I think you just pointed out something very important. Everybody involved, particularly the 4,000 volunteer ambassadors, they are doing it because they want to help portray New Orleans as a wonderful, loving, caring group of people in a wonderful city. And they're doing that.
Yeah, they are. I think we should work a little harder on doing that when nobody special is in town.
Just to each other.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
All right, Noel.
So what do we have coming up?
Well, you know, we'll talk about the environment and everything that's going on. I want to talk to Keith Spira, entertainment writer for the Times-Picayune and The Advocate. I talked to him last night. It was interesting about the people who drew the biggest crowd. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And also, we got into a conversation about Taylor Swift. Where does she go from here? So we'll talk about that, too.
All righty, folks. Scoot is up next. Hope you enjoyed today's show, Dave.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'll be back at 5 a.m. Noel and I will be back at 10 tomorrow.
Yep, I'm not going to be here at 5.
I'm going to go get some more catfish.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.